Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we are awaiting a call from Amy Dash, WFAN legal analyst and CBS Sports Radio's Amy Dash, to try to make some sense of the, well, a couple different things going on. Michael Avenatti, who, by the way, is just 7 minutes ago tweeting about Bol Bol, the Oregon big man, and his handlers receiving large sums of money from Nike. That was a tweet from him just 7 minutes ago. This was also on the heels of him being charged in New York and California with extortion, bank, and wire fraud. And as I mentioned, he's not exactly going quietly. Amy Dash joins us now on the hotline, CBS Sports Radio and WFAN legal analyst. Hey, Amy, what have you been doing the last couple of days?
How are you? Getting up to date with all of the legal news. It sounds like there's something every single day now in sports.
Okay, let's get to the Michael Avenatti thing. Most famously, the attorney for Stormy Daniels and her lawsuit with President Trump and his former lawyer, Michael Cohen. This guy has had a really interesting last 24 hours because he tweeted yesterday morning that he'd be holding a press conference to disclose a major college basketball or high school, and both college basketball and high school, scandal perpetrated by Nike that he and a co-conspirator had uncovered. And I thought the timing was unbelievably ironic that he later was charged in New York and California with extortion and bank and wire fraud in separate charges. What did you make of the story that came down about 24 hours ago and what's gone on since, Amy?
Okay, so, yeah, the timing was ironic, but in California, they had actually been investigating Michael Avenatti related to alleged tax fraud since 2015. The IRS was trying to collect money from him related to payroll taxes, and they had also found out that he allegedly embezzled money from clients. So that was a whole separate investigation that was going on. Mm-hmm. What happened in New York is that just over the course of the last week to 2 weeks, the FBI has been wiretapping his conversations with attorneys from Nike. He and an alleged co-conspirator met with attorneys from Nike, and those attorneys, again, cooperating with the government, went in there wired up. They were videotaped. They were audio recorded. And in the course of those conversations, Michael Avenatti revealed that he was representing an AAU coach. Now there have been reports that it was Gary Franklin out of Cal Supreme, and that this coach had information about Nike making cash payments to the families of recruits in order to get them to commit to certain universities. Now, we've seen this with the college basketball scandal that's been going on over the past year plus, right, involving Adidas. But now Avenatti was saying, well, we have evidence that Nike was involved as well, and we're going to reveal, you know, people in high-ranking positions within Nike at a press conference on the eve of Nike's earnings call and basically destroy Nike's reputation with the NCAA tournament going on and everything like that. So he was timing it out this way, and he made that known to Nike. Unless you pay us, you pay my client $1.5 million, and you pay me $15 to $25 million to conduct an internal investigation into this matter. So he was saying to Nike, hire me, and we'll stay quiet and pay me $15 to $25 million. Or, in the alternative, there was a second option. You can pay us $22.5 million, and we'll just go away. So the government was saying that this is basically an old-fashioned shakedown. Mm-hmm. And this is what the FBI reported had happened. Now, Avenatti, of course, is proclaiming his innocence. He's since been released from federal custody, and he's now gone on Twitter as early as this morning, outing names. He said that DeAndre Ayton from the Phoenix Suns, his mother allegedly got cash payments from Nike in order for him to commit to Arizona back in the day. Now, people were kind of mocking that because they're saying, well, we knew this already. We knew that Ayton was mentioned more than a year ago by ESPN, that Sean Miller, the head coach from Arizona, was talking about making these payments to Ayton. So people are kind of saying, well, is that all you got?
Amy, between the blowout of Zion Williamson's shoe in famous fashion a few weeks ago and this latest bout with Avenetti, it's been kind of a tough run for Nike right now. Which one at the end of the day is going to be more damaging, do you think?
Yeah, it's a good point. I think they're two totally different issues, obviously. Mm-hmm. And Nike claims that it's been cooperating with the government for more than a year. Avenatti is now claiming on Twitter again that Nike has lied in response to subpoenas that were issued by the government to it, and that Nike has been withholding and covering up information. So I think that this is just the beginning. You know, obviously now Avenatti is facing so many charges that altogether with these two investigations between the tax fraud and the attempted extortion, he could face up to 100 years in prison. You know, that's the maximum. Obviously, he wouldn't get that, but these are serious, serious charges. So he's going down swinging. So I think we're going to see a lot more damning information come out. It seems like he did have evidence and information, even though he sort of got caught up in making threats, which he should not have done. That doesn't discredit the fact that he may have information that could be damning and harming to Nike and even get them into legal trouble, because we now have a precedent where Adidas employees were held liable and Adidas executive was just sentenced to 9 months in prison for his involvement. So it would seem unfair if there were, in fact, Nike employees that made payments to the families of recruits or to recruits for them not to be indicted, for them not to be held liable in the same way.
Amy Dash from CBS Sports Radio and WFAN's legal analyst joining us here. And we're pleased that she's helping us unpack this stuff. Michael Avenatti has gone on Twitter and said he wanted to thank all of his supporters for the kind words. He never attempted to extort Nike, and when the evidence is disclosed, the public will learn the truth about Nike's crime and cover-up. That was a tweet from him. And since then, he's named another name, Bol Bol, the big guy from Oregon, and his handlers. So is this is he just going to spout off tweeting all day in lieu of this press conference that he was supposed to have at 10 o'clock Central Time, 11 a.m. Eastern today?
It seems like it. And if you know Michael Avenatti and his history with the media, perhaps he can't control his urge to do so. So it seems like more names are just going to be coming out, you know, throughout the whole day. But in terms of his denials over, you know, listen, he's entitled to give his side of the story. But in terms of him saying that he thinks he's going to be completely exonerated, I find it hard to believe at this stage, based on reading the FBI indictment, because it is so detailed. The complaint, I should say, it is so detailed in terms of them saying explicitly that they have him on audio, on video, and they have the language that he was using. Now, as an attorney, it's a pretty simple extortion. You make a threat to harm the reputation of a corporation. Now, there are other ways you can extort through kidnapping and things like that. But in this situation, it seems, based on the text of these recordings that are in the complaint, that the threats to harm the reputation were very direct. And in exchange for not harming Nike's reputation, he wanted money. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a simple, as the government says, straightforward extortion case. So I think he's going to have a very hard time overcoming these charges.
You just used the term, Amy, if you know Michael Avenatti. I don't. He seems to be an impressive communicator from the outside looking in. I don't know what his legal acumen is. I would defer to you in that regard. He appears to be the kind of person that the only bad exposure is no exposure. Is that an unfair statement, do you think?
I don't know if he envisions it that way in his mind, obviously, because I'm not him. So I don't know if he sees this as bad publicity and he sees bad publicity as good publicity and better than no publicity.
Right.
But certainly he is drawn to the media, and that's where he plays out his cases, and he's had success doing so. So when somebody's had a track record of success, making money, getting more clients through their media exposure, it would make sense that they would go back to that forum to feel that he would be able to get maybe a more fair shot in public forum than in a court forum, though obviously it's a bigger risk because you don't have those procedural safeguards there when you're putting out information.
Amy Dash.
But he may have nothing to lose, by the way, at this point.
Right, yeah, right.
Go ahead, Bruce.
One more for me, Amy, and I really appreciate your insight. As this trial for college basketball and corruption in college basketball continues, I guess, next month, in your estimation, are there going to be more marquee or high-profile casualties? I don't mean to diminish people being indicted and going away that have gone away for time at all. But we've got some fairly high-profile people from Arizona and LSU. And are we going to see more of this, do you think, as the result of this thing continuing here in the month of April?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you have the big high-profile trial coming up, the second trial, and what we're going to see is we're going to see these coaches who were subpoenaed, Will Wade, Sean Miller, have to testify under oath.
Right.
Now, that's going to be very tricky because when they're asked direct questions, if they don't answer them truthfully, then they risk perjuring themselves, and they could go to jail for that. So they're going to have to come clean as much as possible. When they're asked all these questions about, were you participating in this? And if they lie and then they're caught, then they could be fired. But if they tell the truth and they admit to it, then they could be fired.
Amy Dash, WFAN legal analyst and CBS Sports Radio, joining us here on Sports Daily. In this alleged shakedown of Nike, he is supposedly joined by a co-conspirator. And according to multiple reports, it's Mark Garagos, whose client includes Colin Kaepernick. If that's
right.
Not dripping with irony, I don't know what is. If true, what was your reaction when you heard that that was Avenatti's co-conspirator?
I was surprised. I should say that I have spoken with Mark. He's been on my podcast and actually an attorney from his firm I've worked with on unrelated matters, just contracts and things like that for myself. I don't have a personal relationship with Mark. I don't know anything about his involvement. So I'm just waiting because I'm surprised and disappointed by that news. So I'm waiting for the facts to come out on that. But I do know, like you said, they do have that Nike connection through Colin Kaepernick. It's unclear whether they tapped into that Nike connection to, you know, set up meetings for Avenatti. We don't know. But we know Avenatti and Mark Garagos, they did know each other because I believe that Avenatti may have consulted with Mark Garagos about a domestic abuse case that Avenatti was being accused of with an ex-girlfriend of his.
Well, okay, let's say Avenatti somehow gets off the hook with Nike. In the California case, he's accused of embezzling clients' money to pay his own expenses and debts. That seems more, and I'm no legal analyst, so correct me if I'm wrong, that seems a little more ironclad than maybe even an extortion claim.
I'm sorry, say that again. You cut out a little
bit. In the California case where he's accused
yes.
of embezzling people's
oh, yes.
money, that mm-hmm. seems a little more ironclad than the Nike shakedown, yes or no?
No, I think that I haven't seen the evidence in the tax fraud case, but I know it's extensive and I know it's been going on for years and it involves potential bank fraud, giving false documents to try to obtain loans from banks, potentially embezzling client money. Meaning taking settlement money for himself instead of giving it to the clients, and then evading personal income tax and payroll taxes for years. Those are the allegations. I think the evidence is strong, probably strong there if the government's going to bring that type of a case. But I think it may be even stronger actually with Nike because they have the video and the audio recordings of him making these damaging statements that clearly indicate threats to Nike's reputation, which is a federal crime, asking for money in exchange for it. Now, if he had just tried to commence settlement negotiations where he had tried to negotiate, okay, my client will stay quiet if you give my client $1 million, without the threats, that would not have necessarily been a crime. That would have been settlement negotiations. That happens every day. But because he made these threats to the reputation of Nike and said, unless you give money to not only my client, but to me as well, is what the FBI is saying. And if you don't, then we will do X, Y, Z. That's what makes it a crime.
Got about a minute left with Amy Dash. What do you think will happen with the Robert Kraft trial? Because he's got a court date coming up this week, I think, too, right?
Yes. And I believe on the 27th. I on this, because we have his attorney making public statements denying that he did anything wrong. He has hired a powerhouse, like a dream team, like the O.J. Simpson dream team, but modern day, to represent him. So he's got all these high-powered lawyers. So it seems like he would be fighting something like this, because we know that the plea deal that he was offered, at least publicly, was that he would have to plead guilty. And then he would do some community service. He would do some sort of a diversion program where he'd take education courses and things like that. But a lot of people are saying, well, he's not going to want to plead guilty because then not necessarily that he'd have it on his record, because if he completed the program, it would drop off. But if he didn't complete the program for whatever reason, or he didn't do it satisfactorily, then he would have that conviction on his record. So that's not as good of a plea deal as saying, okay, we're going to drop the charges and you do community service, because they want that guilty plea on file. So I'm thinking he's going to fight it. But then we see him come out with this very extensive and very humble apology. And that made me think, well, maybe he's going to take the plea deal, because that's sort of setting him up for saying, okay, first publicly, I'm going to be accountable. I'm going to take responsibility. I'm going to show remorse. And those are the types of things that a court wants to see. So if you're doing that publicly first, it could indicate that he's going to take a plea deal in the future. So I'm a little bit torn. I don't know. I think there are factors out there that indicate it could go either way.
All right. At Amy-TV on Twitter is where you can find her. Fascinating stuff. Amy, thanks for breaking that down for us. Really appreciated visiting with you today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
All right. There it goes.
Thanks, Amy.
Amy Dash. Anytime that sports clashes with the courts, I feel like we got to reach out somewhere else, because this thing, man, Michael Avenatti.
Isn't that every day?
A lot of tentacles.
I mean, haven't we kind of evolved to that point now, or devolved?
Devolved,
I guess. You know, it's like, God, you just look for places of shelter. In our world today, it's hard to find it, isn't it?
Well, sometimes.
It's kind of hard.
On a much lighter and brighter note, John Mellencamp is coming to town, and we've got two tickets for you. So he's coming to Century 2 on Tuesday, the 16th of April. Give Dusty a call. Be caller number 5-869-1240. Got a pair of tickets to John Mellencamp at Century 2. When we come back, we'll have a Twitter question that has nothing to do with real life. And that maybe is what we need right now. Cindy O brings it to us, and we'll reveal it to you when we come back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.